The title of this message is Say When. Say When. Brother Jason will understand this. You're in a restaurant, and you give somebody's got some food, and you're going to give them some ground pepper. What do you say? Tell me when. You're having some pasta, and you're going to have some Parmesan cheese on it, and they give you some of that grated cheese. They say, say when. You give it to you're pouring a glass for somebody to drink from, say when. So the title of today's message is Say When. Because God has been so good to us, has he not? As a church, he's been good to us. He's blessed us spiritually. We get good teaching. He's also blessed our careers, has he not? Amen. Hallelujah. And in some cases, he's blessed us with material, amazing, bountiful, mind-blowing blessings, has he not? Yes. Is all this true? Yes. Most importantly, though, with all these blessings, we can actually say that these blessings have come according to Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then how many of these things? All of these things will be added unto you. These things, all these wonderful blessings, are not going to hurt us or harm us or jack us up, because they came as seek ye first the kingdom of God. In Jason's case, it was seek ye first the 15 freeway. And go south. Amen? Amen. Go south and west till you get down there to the Inland Empire, and I'll tell you what's next after that. And he got a job he didn't expect to have, in a field he didn't expect to be in. He didn't know that. What's your job? Your job is, it had nothing to do with a warehouse. Your job is leadership. Your job is discipleship. Your job is to learn something so you have something to give to somebody else, and then learn how best to give it, and then give it like that. And folks will wonder, how did you get that kind of productivity out of folks? Hallelujah. So these are examples of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will take care of the rest. Will he? Sister Caroline Morris, will he, if you seek him first and put him first, will he? Will he take that extra 1% and multiply it by how many? Will he take that extra? If you step up to the plate and say, God, I thank you for helping me to give 10%, but I'm going to give one more percent, what will he do? He'll have you having to stop off by Nike to buy some running shoes to try to outrun the blessings. Hallelujah. These are examples of us doing the preparation and being obedient, and then God providing the opportunities. It is a beautiful thing. He's blessing us in all of these material ways specifically I want to talk about, and it's according to his word. That's a beautiful thing. According to his word. Now, today we want to focus on, and we've already talked about trying to step up to the plate, and Pastor Trina has challenged us to get to a certain place. But we also have something here today for those who have found that place. So if you're trying to outrun blessings, we still have a message for you. For those of you who need to get to that point, we've got a message for you. You've heard that message now. I'm going to tell you in advance for when you get there, and I'm going to tell those who are there what you need to be thinking about. Is that all right? Amen. I told you it would be complimentary. I told you you're going to get a 2-for-1 sale today, amen? And it's not the same. It's not the same. Today we're going to focus on staying on track. Somebody say staying on track.
Staying on track.
And avoiding slippage. Yes. The slippage. Did you know that prosperity can trip you up? No matter how you got there, you could have gotten there all the right ways, but you can get there and then you can start to slip. You can get there and then there will be temptations associated with prosperity. And we want to stay on track, do we not? Amen. Now, the keys are to enjoy it. Will you enjoy God's prosperity? What good is it if he prospers you and then you're sitting around with a sad face? You don't want anybody to know, like you fasted and praying. You already did that and he's blessed you. It's okay to smile. It's okay to enjoy. But you also have to give God the glory, amen? Amen? So enjoy it, give God the glory, and then you must have what Pastor Trina said earlier. You must have perspective. You've got to remember where you came from. You got to remember how you got here. You got to remember who got you here, and you've got to stay in that. Even if you drive in the better car, even if you're living in the better house, even if you have the better job or position or income, you've got to stick with, you've got to dance with the one that brung you. Are you hearing me? Amen. We're trying to avoid slippage. We're trying to avoid going backwards. We're trying to stay on track in the midst of prosperity. Now, Pastor Trina mentioned the fact that last Sunday, Mr. Tyson passed away suddenly, unexpectedly. He had all kinds of plans. He was in the middle of all sorts of plans. And he didn't just die unexpectedly. He died at age 60. I am 58 almost and a half. That's not far from where I am. He died at age 60. Does that sound premature? And he died suddenly. And he died while making $16 million a year. In case you didn't hear me, I said he died while making $16 million per year. Did you hear me that? How many million? 16 million. Most people don't make $16 million in their whole lives. Most families, nuclear families, don't make $16 million in their whole lives. You can have a whole family reunion, you might not get $16 million. And he was making $16 million a year. And he died suddenly, unexpectedly, at age 60. And as Pastor Trita said, we go on vacation and I get a call. And I said, oh, you know, she might want to talk about work. I'm not going to answer that. We'll live or let her leave a message. And then it turns out she also got a call. And then the call came through again. I said, I better take this. And she's in tears and calling me and saying, you know, yeah, oh, my God, my husband, he got a sinus infection. And within a few days, he's now in the ICU in critical condition. Now, the silver lining to the story is by the end of the conversation, she says, I knew if I called you, I'd get some consolation. So there was a blessing in it that while we're living our lives and I'm doing that doctor thing and I'm doing that leadership administration thing and we're on here on vacation and we got this tiny little church, we actually still play a part. Because I wasn't just being a colleague and a friend, I was able to counsel her in a moment of distress. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Amen. But her husband was also a physician, and she is a physician, and they make a whole lot of money, and they live in San Marino, and that's a pretty cool zip code. Yes. And yet, he died suddenly, unexpectedly, at age 61. Let that sink in. Two men, very well off, very much prospered in a material way, seemingly so much to look forward to, and they both died suddenly. Somebody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
Unexpectedly. At what we would all consider a premature age. Both of these examples point to the fragility of the human condition. Did you know that we're pretty fragile? You can lift all the weights you want. You can be as strong as you want, as fast as you want, as agile as you want. You are still just a blink of an eye away from taking your last breath. Tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow is not promised. I need to say that a few more times because God gives us the grace for us not to have to worry about that. But we're taking the time right now to understand in this moment of time, tomorrow is not promised. And not everybody is blessed to end things the way that Jason and his father ended things. Not everybody's blessed with that. Brother Jason, I think you see now in these events of this last week how much of a blessing it was. Because your father could have been taken like that. And all of the relationship, all of the coming together, all of the forgiveness, all of the getting to know, all of the affirmation, all of the understanding would not have been possible had he not given you that time. Amen? Amen. So we are a fragile bunch, no matter what we think. The second thing that this is an example of is the fact that you cannot take material things with you. You can pile them up all you want, but you can't take them with you. Amen? Amen. You cannot take this stuff with you. So you've got to have a proper perspective. Now, back in the Egyptian days of the pharaohs, they had this old Egyptology, and they thought they were figuring out a way to preserve the body and to take all the stuff with them by putting it in the tomb with them. But I don't plan to be in a tomb in eternity. So if you put my stuff in a tomb, it won't be with me. So you can't take it with you. It's also a reminder of the fact that only the difference that you make in lives carries on. Everything else, poof. Only the difference that you make on earth matters. Only the people and the institutions that you poured yourself into in a positive way is left when you're gone. The difference that you made for God, most importantly, it's really the only thing that matters. It still hangs around. Amen? Amen? So today's message, and I'll try to give you the abridged version, is a cautionary message given out of love. Because once you get there, it's one thing to get there, but it's harder to stay there. To stay there and to live in the blessings. Get used to the blessings. Get used to not even remembering when you got paid. And to have all of the things that you wanted for your life, for your wife, and still stay on track. Because you never know when your number is going to be called. Amen? Amen? So this is a cautionary message out of love. So our text will be found in the book of Luke, chapter 12. Let's go there quickly. Luke chapter 12. And we're going to be focused on verses 13 through 21 so that Jesus can quickly tell us what he wants us to know, how to stay on track. We're talking about abundance. We are operating from a place of abundance. We're operating from a place of abundance where we got there the right way. And so what do you tell that person? Amen? Amen. What do you tell that person that's already gotten their pie in the sky now? Amen? So as we look here at verses 13 and 14, it reads, "And one of the company said unto him," that is speaking to Jesus, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" So this young man comes to Jesus saying, "You know what? Have my brother divide some of that inheritance with me. He doesn't have to, but he should. Could you tell him that it's greedy if he holds on to all of it? Could you tell him that that's excess if he holds on to all of it? Could you tell him it would be the right thing? He'll listen to you." Jesus says, "Why are you bothering me with this stuff?" In other words, here is the point. Jesus had literally, if you read the verses before that, or the chapter before that, he had just been talking about some heavy duty, seriously spiritual matters. Important spiritual matters. And this guy takes advantage of the opportunity because Jesus is talking and laying down this heavy spiritual stuff. Okay, people will listen to him. So here's what I'm going to tell him. "Will you tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me. He's going to take advantage of Jesus' spiritual position to advance his cause in a material way. So what part of all this spirituality and the Holy Ghost makes you think about your inheritance? So is there anything wrong with having an inheritance? No. Is there anything wrong with wanting to be treated fairly? No. Is there anything wrong? We have not because we ask not. But what part about heavy duty spiritual growth makes you think about me taking my time to tell your brother to give you some of his money? Where's your head at? Are you hearing me? So the issue was his prioritization and his focus on financial matters. That was the problem. It's not wrong to have finances. It's not wrong to want money. But he prioritized it over the spiritual in this case. And so Jesus took advantage of the moment to teach everyone around a lesson. We go to verse 15, and here is Jesus' response. It's powerful. And he said unto them, meaning he's talking to everybody now. He's not talking just to this young man. He's telling them all, because you all need to hear this. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now, this makes me think, I've mentioned it a few times, that there's a license plate holder that says, he who has the most toys wins. Usually on the back of an SUV that's got a boat behind it. And behind the boat is, he who has the most toys wins. Amen? So Jesus says to this man, take heed. In other words, be on the lookout for, watch out for covetousness. How many of you know we need to watch out for covetousness? But when you finally get to the mountaintop, you really need to watch out for covetousness. Of course, we need to watch out for it when we're trying to get to the mountaintop, because you can get so focused on money that you won't remember why you're climbing. So be on the lookout is what he's saying. Watch out for it. Now remember, this young man has just asked Jesus, could you just talk to my brother? This ain't that big a deal, nothing bad. But he did it at a time that they were talking about spiritual things. He took advantage of Jesus like he was a vending machine to focus on this. That's so what is it about what he said that's made Jesus say, "Woo, take heed"? Because he recognized his prioritization. He recognized his inappropriate focus. So he recognized what was really going on in his heart. And he says, all of you all need to learn a lesson here. I need you to beware of covetousness. Now, when we hear that word, we start thinking a little bit about the Ten Commandments, and we think covetousness is because I want your wife, I want your car, I want what you have, I want the job, I want that promotion that you have, I want the acknowledgement and adulation that you have. No, and so I'm coveting it. But no, in this particular case, the word that is used for covetousness, this is important. It means, and we can miss out, by the way, if we don't understand this properly. We can believe, well, you know what, I don't, you know, crave money. I don't, you know, focus on, have got a heavy desire for things. And I don't, certainly don't want somebody else's stuff. I'm not envious. I'm not that person. So you can miss it. He says, ooh, be careful of covetousness. And you can just, it's not meant for me. But notice, he wasn't just talking to the young man. He was talking to everybody else who you don't know their business, right? So everybody should be what? Listening. And he says, be on the lookout. Watch out for. Have your eyes peeled and your ears trained for covetousness. This word covetousness means the advantages of more. I know it's translated covetousness, and you think, oh my God, all these other thoughts come to your mind. The advantages of having more. Is it a bad thing to have more? If a little bit is good, then more is better. And if more is better, then a whole lot more is best. He says, be on the lookout for, be careful about focusing on the advantages of more. I want you to think about your situations. I want you to think about the decisions you have to make. I want you to think about the decisions I have to make. I was just focused. I took this week to look at my finances and to look at my retirement plans and what they might look like. Let me tell you what the advantages are of more are when you go from a certain income bracket to another one without the numbers. Your taxes go up 8%. So it's not always an advantage to have more. But he's telling them, keep your eyes peeled. Look out for, watch out now for more. Now, somebody's walking along, you say, ooh, watch it, there's a pothole right there. There's a ditch right there. Be careful, don't drive on this lane because it just rained and I've got a bunch of holes in the ground and you can mess up your tires like I do. How many times do people tell you, keep your eyes peeled, keep your head on a swivel, looking out for the advantages of having more? Are there advantages? Yes. You better keep your eyes out, though. Keep a lookout for the advantages of more. This is what Jesus wants to talk about. Amen? When you get to the mountaintop, you got to understand that there are some risks to having more. Be careful. This is beautiful. I hope I'm not just by myself. Be on the lookout, listen to me, of the advantages. Listen, he said there are advantages. Be on the lookout. Be careful with the advantages of having more. Oh, this is good to me. So watch out for the trap of the comfort that you pursue or the decisions that you make in order to achieve the security of having more. I'm talking to everybody, including those of us who are about to potentially be retired. I want to say to all of us, watch out for the trap of the comfort that we pursue or the decisions that we make in order to achieve the security of having more. Because some of us, the older of us, are blessed to have lived in an era where people have pensions, which is guaranteed money, an annuity that pays you forever and ever and ever. Amen. But we will trade in good years of our lives in order to have a little bit more. Productive years, when we're still healthy. We will trade it in order to have the comfort of the security of more. Woo! Woo, we're talking to those who have today. Not to those who are trying to get. Those who are on the mountaintop, that need to watch out for being on that mountaintop. The air is thin up there. Or those who are on the mountaintop and don't even know they're on the mountaintop. They're on Mount Everest. They're looking for a higher mountain. Be careful. Watch out. Look out. Keep an eye out for the advantages of having more. Are there advantages? Yes. But you need to look out. You need to watch out. Watch out now. And if you don't have the opportunity to have them more, then there's no temptation. So some folks don't quit working, for instance, until they would make more retired than working. So they weren't just staying because they loved the work. Maybe they loved it, maybe they didn't. But they stopped when the money starts to switch. So why were they there? That works out fine when you're blessed to keep on living. That's just fine if you happen to roll the dice and the dice come up okay. But that ain't promised. That's not promised. So that person's testimony is, "Woo, I win. Woo, I got the maximum out of that baby. I didn't stop until they've been paying me more to stay home." That's a testimony. That's somebody's testimony. Just like the person who drinks and smokes and parties and lives till their 90s. That's their testimony. Does that mean that that's what you would advise somebody to do?
No.
Okay. Jesus says, I need you to look out for, I need you to watch out for, I need you to be careful about the advantages of more. And he says, what he's getting at for us is to watch out for the trap of the comfort, listen to me, of the comfort that we pursue, and be mindful of the decisions that we make in order to achieve the security of having more. Now for the second part of this verse. Was the first part heavy? Did you get something out of that first part? There's a whole lot coming still. The abridged version. The second part of this is critical. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things, meaning the money and the material things, that he possesses. So this guy said, hey, you know, could you have your brother, my brother, you know, share the inheritance with me? And Jesus said, woo, wait a minute, all you all need to hear this. First of all, why are you bothering me with this? Weren't we talking spiritual things? I see where you're at. But all you guys need to hear this. And we're not just pointing at this brother, because we all need to hear this, because it seems like more is better, right? Logical. Yeah, but I need you to be careful. Because this brother's got all he needs, but he thinks he deserves a part of that. It's not that he's not taken care of. He thinks he deserves more. He has a right to have more, so why not ask for more? So the problem is where your head is at. I'm worried about where that's going to take you. The key words here are, a man's life consisteth not. That's what's important there. It's not in the abundance of things that he has. Now, where's Jesus going with this? We all, when we get older, if we're blessed to get older, can look back at our lives. And the older you get, the more you look back. And you sum up your life. You evaluate your life. You evaluate the cumulative impact of the decisions that you've made financially, relationship, career, ministry. You look back more because you got more to look back on than you could ever expect to have going forward. So we all evaluate our lives if we're blessed to get old enough to look back and to have the time and the faculties to do so. We all do that. That's natural, right? To sum it all up. But what if you don't get that luxury? What if that angel comes to get you in the middle of the night and you weren't planning on it? What if it comes in your 50s? What if it comes when you're 60? That's way before you got all your plans all plotted out. You went to your financial planner and they had all this stuff based on the actuarials. Well, that actuarial stuff is based on the likelihood that you'll live a certain time. There are people who get the best retirement ever and don't live more than a hot second to enjoy it. So what if you don't get that luxury? The lesson here is that every part of your life should be treated like it could be the sum of your life. Every portion of your life should be treated as if it is the sum of your life. You can't wait for the possibility of eventually getting to be older and then looking back at your life, because you might be at the end. You might be in that place. You don't know. We have the luxury most of the time of making decisions, assuming we have time to fix stuff that we break. Are you hearing me? Every part of your life should be treated like it could be the sum of your life, because it just might be. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't save? No. Does it mean that you shouldn't plan for the future? Of course not. It doesn't mean that. But the question is, the question is, how much is enough? We have to be real good at knowing how much is enough. Because if we aren't good at that, if we don't look at each portion of our life as the sum of our lives, and we understand that you can't take stuff with you, you can't take an annuity with you, you can't take a retirement with you, so what are you then accumulating? Are you focused so much on accumulating years for your actuarial payment and taken away from what you could be investing in the kingdom? Now, if one is not contrary to the other, no problem. But if that equation is off, Jesus is just saying, watch out. Be careful. Be mindful. If you stopped and you knew that your number was going to be called 3 years from now, what would you do differently? If you knew the difference that you're blessed and gifted to make could only be made in the next couple years, what would you do differently? In your relationships, with your job situation, with your finances? That doesn't mean you should go and spend all your money up. That's dumb. That's not what we're talking about. But if each portion of your life should be viewed as if it is the sum, what's your legacy? Oh, legacy is for 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds. No, you don't know. You say that because the actuarial expectation is that you're going to live, if you're white and well off in this country right now and you're female, you should live to be about 85. If all those other things are true and you're male, you should be about 80. And everybody else about 75-ish. But what if that's not you? You're not a statistic. You're you. Bernard didn't get to live off of his great retirement to get paid millions of dollars to do nothing. He didn't get to do that. Are you learning something? So how much is enough? If you don't know how to figure that out, you need to learn how to figure that out, because you know what? You will be stuck doing the natural thing. More is better. More is more secure. I'll feel more secure if I have more. How much more good could you do if you're not chasing the security storage for the future? Quickly, we're going to look at verses 17 through 21, because Jesus thought, now I gave you Bernard and I told you about the other doctor. Jesus chose to use a parable real quick to give his own version of the example for the time. He spake in a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now notice, he's telling all of them this story, so it's not just about rich people. And he thought within himself, says, self, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow, to put all my fruits. I got so much. I ain't even got room to put all the stuff. And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down all my barns and I'm going to build some bigger barns. And there will I bestow all of my fruits and all of my goods. And I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, a.k.a. a big old giant annuity. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and he doesn't mean water, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. You'd have done all this planning. You've done all this accumulating. And now you're ready. I'm going to enjoy the fruits of my labor. Finally, I've been accumulating and accumulating. And I had more than enough. But I want to make bigger barns. That's what my focus was. Making bigger barns. Tearing down the first one. Building the bigger ones. And then putting all the stuff in there. And then I'm feeling good about myself. What else could I have been doing? While I was focusing on more stuff and somewhere to put it. So God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which you have provided? You can't take it with you. Is that helpful to know? So why did he call him a fool? Because God, remember, notice he didn't call him evil. He called him a fool. God would rather he live his life well. I want you to pay attention to that. Live your life well. Live your life well. Live your life well. Deferring the most important things while you try to accumulate 1 or 2 more percent. Of security is not living your life well. God wants you to enjoy the fruits of your labor now, not in excess. Not in excess. And make the difference that you can while you can. He wants you to enjoy the fruits of the labor that he blesses you to get, not to excess. Now, while you also do what you can for him, while you can. And if you don't do that, then you're a fool. If you go and make a bunch of credit card debt so you can't really enjoy, you're a fool. But if you don't have that and you just have stuff and then you have enough and you got more than enough, but you want more than enough because more is better. 1 more percent, 2 more percent, $300 more a month in retirement will be better. If you get the luxury, you might be right. You might be. But what are we sacrificing in the meantime for that? What? Do you know? I have a stock. You could have put $5,000 in, and in 1 month, you could have made enough to all that more for the rest of your life. Could have been taken care of in a week. But we'll sacrifice days, weeks, months, years, piling up mores for our laters that we're not guaranteed to have. Amen? Amen. God wants us to live our lives well. So now, of course, if we don't have Jesus, we better hurry up and get some, right? Because you don't know when your number's going to be called. But what if you do have him? If you do have him, then it should show in your decisions. If you have Jesus, if he is your real security, it should show in your decisions, right? It's okay for the average Joe to sacrifice and keep on grinding and keep on grinding and keep on grinding for a little bit more cheddar at the end. But if Jesus is your source, just be careful. Pay attention. It's what he's saying. He's saying you're evil. Just don't want you to be a fool. Woo! So what is your legacy? An impact as you sum up your life, and what if your number was going to be called soon? What does it look like right now? What work is undone? What emphasis is not being emphasized enough? Preaching to myself too. What impact will you have made if today is your last day? I do think about Jason's decision and when he turned down a higher salary. We know what he turned down, but hallelujah for what he gained. A life lived well. Being able to see little Noah, be with his family on a moment's notice, not be sitting in traffic, make a difference in a company that understands his value, not just check a box and take more money. Living life well. God ain't asking you to be poor and broke. He just don't want you to be a fool. I think about the options that Brother Marcellus has with the blessings that he and his wife have been blessed with. I think about my life and my purpose and the major decisions I have to make. But we all have choices. This message is for everybody. So let's all do our best to give our best while we can and understand what is enough.